win £75,000 with Paddy's Pick 5. Pick 5 winners from our 5 races to win the jackpot. If it's not won, we'll roll it over to the following week. Play for free every Saturday. Pick 5 with Paddy Power.
Welcome along to an episode of From the Horse's Mouth. It's Fridays with Bran Berry and myself, Patrick Canilly. We look ahead to all things Dundalk and everything else in the world of horse racing and maybe even beyond. Now, before I get Fran's views on everything, quick couple of bits for you. Paddy's Pick 5. Paddy's Pick 5 hopefully is back this weekend. We'll get to whether we get any racing this weekend, but it is back on Saturday. 75 grand, wasn't won last week. 75 grand in the pot once again for you. Free to play. Check out the show notes. The races will be revealed by the time this podcast is out, or maybe a little bit later on, but do check out news.paddypower.com or put in Paddy's Pick 5 to Google. You'll find it. So that's free to play. And speaking of free, would you like to go to Leopardstown for a Paddy Power Chase Day? You can do it on us. We've got free tickets for the 27th of December. That's Paddy Power Chase Day at Leopardstown. All you got to do is the usual thing. You quote tweet any tweet regarding this show, or write your own tweet, actually. Just include the hashtag FTHM. Say something nice. Include the hashtag FTHM and you'll be in the draw for free tickets on Paddy Power Chase Day. Branberry, are you going to be at Leopardstown all 4 days, or are you down to Limerick?
I am in Limerick for 3 days. That's my annual Christmas work. Normally do 4 days, actually. I'm only doing 3 days this year. So all this good meeting down there. But I'm planning to go to Leopardstown on the last day and have a bit of a day out, I think. Yeah, so I look forward to that. Yeah.
Ah, yeah, it's always good. I'll miss it, Fran. Oh, by the way, Fran, this is our last chat before the end of the year, before next year.
Really?
You all right? Yeah, you'll be okay?
We're not next Friday, no.
No, I won't be here. I'm gone. Oh, yeah. You know, you'll be there, but I won't be here. It'll be a new host. Don't give him too much stick. Yeah, I'm going on my elongated Christmas holidays as of next week.
Excellent. Well done.
And you know the way there's a cold snap, Fran?
Yeah.
I'm going to Australia. There's no cold snap there.
Happy days.
Follow my Twitter for updates.
not gloating, but having a cold beer on the beach here.
Literally, the plans of Christmas Day are go to a place with a pool and a barbecue. It's going to be unreal.
Right. Bit like Limerick.
It's literally the exact same. That's why they've got a grade one now, Novice Chase. Right, let's talk all things racing. We've got a lot to get through, not just Dundalk. We're also going to chat about the stories in the world of horse racing, the likes of what happened at Fergus last weekend, Hong Kong International Races this weekend, amongst other things. But let's start with Dundalk. And let's start with the first race, the 5 o'clock. It's one of the more valuable races. It's a conditions two-year race, 22 grand. And we've an old friend running in here, and that horse is Exceso Velocidad, who you tipped up to win last time out for Joseph O'Brien. Dylan Brown McMonagall rides. I don't think we'll be getting the same price this time. Are we in again?
Have to be in again. We tipped her up in the base of a very good trial run back in the summer months at Dundalk. And it was very weak in the market pre-race, PK, being drawn out wide, installed 13, maybe been off a length of time since that trial in July. But she jumped, she travelled and battled on extremely well to beat her stable companion by a neck, showing a good attitude. Based on the pace that she showed on that occasion and having had the benefit of a run, I don't think dropping back to 5 furlongs would be any inconvenience to her. And she's open to a lot more improvement, I think, on the back of that run. Catching a Sienna, Shane Heffernan is back on board. Very likable filly for Kevin Coleman. It took a little bit of time to get her head in front, but it was a very good winner last time, winning by 5 lengths. And our previous run behind Queen Maeve, interestingly enough, Queen Maeve was the filly that beat Exceso Velocidad in that trial in July. So we don't know what weight both of them had on that occasion, but Queen Maeve was bought by the Joseph Ryan team on the back of that. So it was an interesting one. And catching a Sienna, dropping back to 5 furlongs won't be an issue for her. She's a lot of pace and she should jump and travel. I just think Exceso Velocidad is open to a lot more improvement. Catherine Sienna's got £10 for winning last day. She's up to 82. I think that's a bit excessive for what she beat on the day, for all that she's visually very impressive. And accessible Velocidad, I think, will be very hard to beat. Hope somebody else tips up Catherine Sienna. We might get some bit of a price on accessible Velocidad.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, because the two of them have won, and also Maggie McGrath has shown a level of ability. She's, I think, rated 75. So I don't think Cessna Velocity would be too short anyway. Hope so. Anyway, go back to back for Joseph. Before we get stuck into the second race, let's look back to last weekend. Ferry House, we saw some brilliant racing and some dramatic finishes. None more so than, obviously, Honeysuckle, her first defeat of her career. I straight away turned to the missus and I said, right, that's her done. like she's like, oh, she'll be okay. She ran well. I was like, no, done. But now I'm kind of thinking, no, it's fine. She'll run at Leopardstown and she'll still, you know, she'll definitely be a better mare because this race hasn't really been her best performance of the season, even close to it.
No, in previous years, she beat Ron Pump the last 2 years, wasn't it? And only fell in last year. I actually went up Sunday. It was a miserable day up there. But I thought from the stands and looking at the big screen, I thought four hurdles out, I thought she was in trouble. She wasn't really just taking Rachel as you would like through the race. And one thing I did like about the performance, going to two out, she came back on a bridle. And he thought that bit of magic was there, that she was going to go and pick up. And it's a very similar performance in some respects to her previous runs at Ferriers. When she got near last, it was like she just slowed down, the winner in the second quickened up, and then she kept on again at death. I think she might have just struggled all the way, and her bit of class got her into contention. I'd be prepared to forgive her that run, give her the benefit of the doubt, and get her back to 2 miles on good ground at Leopardstown Dublin Racing Festival and judge her on that. I know she got beaten. It was a bit of a damn squib, excuse the pun, on a wet day, but it was a shame that she couldn't go and win and kick off her season in good style. But I think she deserves the benefit of the doubt, back to 2 miles, and judge her better on that. Now, she could be a year older, maybe she's got slower, maybe she needed to run more than she has done in the past. There's a lot of factors there, and I think time will tell how she's going to go from there.
I'm going to assume you don't think she's going to be Constitution Hill.
No.
Yeah, the thing that with the back of my mind, she's never been as impressive as Constitution Hill. We know that. That's fine. You know, that's not her. What we always knew was she was a horse who always won. And she, like, whether it was by the neck against Ronald Pump or whether it was by five or six lengths against Epiton, she always won. That air of invincibility now is gone. And that's kind of the only thing that I thought was, not the only thing, she's obviously amazing, but that was the thing that, like, gave her a chance against Constitution Hill. I guess that was why I was so depressed after the run. I just think, well, if she can't win half cooked or 75%, she's not going to beat Honeysuckle at 100%.
Yeah, exactly. And like we're hoping to, you know, to get to Cheltenham with a big clash and the £7 mare allowance and whatnot. But look, that's off the table at the minute. I suppose if she was able to win an Irish Champion Hurdle again, it wouldn't really matter after that. But, you know, jury's out at this point in time.
Yeah, she'll have to be State Man. I don't know if State Man will run there because he'll probably run at Christmas. Maybe he will. Maybe it'd be great to see her run against someone new.
I think it's hunting season's open now. Everyone will be prepared to take her on now in the back of that, you see. Yep. So you're going to have a lot more opposition to take her on, I would imagine, yeah.
Thought you were about to say Henry's going to bring her out for pop over the ditches. You know, bring her out hunting. It's been done with many an Ashland horse. I'd say Paul Carvey's done it with probably Archibald and the rest.
Without permission, I'd say. But
he doesn't ask for permission or forgiveness. All right, so that's Honeysuckle on her performance last weekend. Be interested to see how she goes. Obviously, we won't see her again until Dublin Racing Festival, as is the norm. We'll talk more things racing. Let's talk about the second race of the 5:30. It's a maiden for 2-year-olds over the 7-furlong trip. This has a very open look to it. Mm. I guess, Fran, the days of just ignoring Luke Comer horses is gone, because his horses, I know these are homebreds as well. He used to buy all the X8 and O'Brien horses, loads of money, Luke Comer, so he's got plenty of it. But now the horses he's breeding, they're running well in maids at huge prices. He's got Sound of the Night in this one, who'll be given a chance. Chair Lyons has got Monophobic. You've got Joseph there with a couple, including Victoria Callan, who's got to have a chance. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's an interesting maiden, as you said, PK. I suppose Joseph Bryan is key to the race. He's got three runners in the race. They're all debutants. Two of them by Caravaggio. And if the market speaks in either of, you know, any of them three runners' favour, they could be good enough to win the way they're running at the minute in maiden company. A lot of his horses seem to be forward enough on debut at this point in the season. Cyber Attack, number one, Gavin Cromwell's runner, shaped very well in the current on Irish Oaks weekend. Kept on well to be fourth, only beaten less than three lengths to Verney. That race didn't actually work out all that well. The winners second and third and fifth have all been well beaten since, but it was a run full of promise, and maybe she wasn't as good an ace next time, but that race probably worked out better on the day. And switching to the poly track, being by Saxon Warrior, she could be a different proposition given a bit of time off the track. She was quite an expensive yearling as well. So just want to watch and see how the market speaks in her favour given the length of time she's been off the track. Brazilian Princess, low enough rating, but has been running well in defeat. Plenty of experience and likely to get up into speed and should make it a good test. Number 11, Monophonic, Geraldine's is kept. James Ryan in the saddle, whom rode her last day to take off £7. Not sure she's up to winning a maiden, but not a bad run in Claim Company last time. And then we're down to Sound of the Night, whom by Dick Whittingham, of course, was Aina Bryan's.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Phoenix Stakes winner. Yeah, won a Phoenix Stakes, didn't he, from what I can recall. That was a huge run and debut at 100-1. He jumped, travelled, went through the race really well and only went down by half a length to Mere Accountant, who'd shaped well at Nace on her previous run. So all things being equal, unless one of Joseph's newcomers is above average, I think if Sound of the Night backs up that debut run, it didn't look a fluke. He loved the way he travelled through the race. And as you said, PK, the stable are having a good run with maidens in recent weeks. So it's very hard to see beyond him unless one of the newcomers is above average.
Yeah, okay. We'll keep an eye out for Sound of the Night. That was a nice intro. Didn't realize you were going to tip it up. It worked out nice. It's nice when these things work out. That Sound of the Night in the second race on the card, the 5:30. Was there anything else from Ferry House that caught your eye last weekend in terms of Gordon Elliott putting down a marker? Is he saying, Willie Mullins, this title, you know, I'm going to give it a go again?
Gordon had a great weekend, didn't he? Like the four winners on Sunday and, you know, went close in a couple of other races. So, yeah, he's had a huge weekend. Tiupu would have got a big kick out in that grade one, you know, the Hatton's Grace with him. And, it's going to be interesting. You know, has Willie really got going yet? But Gordon's horse are definitely rocking along well. And the more competition, the better. Facile Vega, just what do you say about that? He's going about Constitution Hill. We've got our own version of it here at the minute. I think, you know, wherever he goes, he's going to draw a crowd, isn't he? Just so visually exciting. The way he went through the race off in front, and after last, he went strongly through the line without being asked for any effort. It was really, really taken.
I hope Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh are ready for when Facile Vega dots up in the grade one novice at Christmas. There's going to be chat. There will be chat, and it will be, do you know what? Chuck him in the champion hurdle. Put him in the champion hurdle. Now, Willie Mullins never does that.
It's not going to happen.
No, before the chat even starts, don't bother, lads. It's absolutely, it's a million that he will put him in anything but a novice hurdle, but it's going to happen. If he wins again.
Oh, it's going to be somebody odd. They have to have the clash and everything. But I think that's a million to one to happen, I think. And on the rest of the weekend, Federal Friday night, Anna gets a chance to look back at that. He was our better night, or one of them at least. And Explosive Boy falling in second last on Saturday. That was quite a character build in 24 hours on the punt for me anyway, at least.
So. Oh, Explosive Boy was in a lot of ackers for me and a single. And yeah, that was gutting. I think he was laid out to win that race. I actually heard on the Friday that Seamus Ross, the owner, he had a connection with the sponsors as well. And I was like, oh, for God's sake. So I was like, double down, here we go. And then
if anyone was looking at Federal on Friday night, it was a painful one. So yeah, we're gonna have to pick ourselves up the ground off the floor after that anyway. So yeah,
character building is right. Right, let's talk about race number 3 at the Dock, 6 o'clock. It's another maiden this time for the 3-year-olds over the 7 furlongs. These are generally quite winnable, these contests. And Bold Rib is going to probably make the market for Joseph and Dylan Barry McMonagall. 79 rated. That could be good enough.
Yeah, and on Bold Rib, he shaped quite well on Irish debut with Killarney. He looked quite big in the ring, and on testing ground, he appeared to get tired from a furlong and a half out. And the market was very against him at Dundalk when he pitched up the last time. And I was there doing the paddocks, and I was often told, you know, keep your ears shut and look with your eyes if you like. And I thought he looked really well in the ring. So he went out to 5-1, great each way price anyway. And it was all going well till he drifted left inside the last 50 yards, just got caught in the line by a stable companion, Sheer Chance. Good run. If he didn't wander, he should have won there on that occasion. And with a little bit more progression and a good draw now installed too. Again, with a positive ride, Dylan Brown McMonagall is on board. He should be very hard to beat. It's not a strong maiden by any means. Show Her the Money, number 11, trained by Dave Marnane, showed promise on both starts today. It's stepping up to 7 furlongs might suit, but maybe one for nursery, or sorry, for handicap company rather than winning a maiden. And Joseph Bryan's other runner, Bambino Cavallino, shaped with promise enough to a point on debut, maybe a work in progress. And number 3, Secret Spy, trained by Andy Oliver. He's had a good run of things in Dundalk. He 2 winners here Wednesday night, a very well backed debutant, winning the last race in good style last night. And it's worth a look in the market. But all things being equal, Bull Rib, it's a very good opportunity and very hard to see beyond him.
Yeah, he looks one to base potentially if you acres around. That is Bold Rib in the 6 o'clock and race number 3. We'll get stuck into the handicaps in due course, but let's go up in class, Fran, because this weekend, as we speak on Thursday morning, as I look at the frost sitting on my car, and it doesn't look like it's going to be thawing anytime soon. I am entirely pessimistic about jumps racing this weekend. But anyway, there'll be no problems in Hong Kong, and you can watch it live on Sky Sports Racing on Sunday morning. 4 Group 1s on the Hong Kong International Racing card, including plenty of Irish runners. I did ask you to have a look at a few of these races. The floor is yours. Let's go east.
Look, it's a great meeting. I was lucky enough to ride there on a couple of occasions, and a huge day, and good to see the international meeting back in full flow there, PK. You have to be over 18 to go racing in Hong Kong. I was told that you used to maybe break that rule a little bit. Is that right?
Look, I lived about a 5-minute walk from Happy Valley. It was 50p or 25p to go in. I my dad worked in the jockey club, so I couldn't really go, "Dad, will you let me in?" He's like, "I can't, you're too young." So yeah, you go in. Yeah, I might have snuck in once or twice. I hope he's not listening.
Snuck into Happy Valley and maybe Wanchai as well, maybe. So.
We made it to Wanchai. Joe Bananas was a yeah, spot that we might have frequented. And Long Kwai Fung is a good spot too. But anyway, punters want winners. never mind my time in Hong Kong.
Romantic Warrior in the Hong Kong Cup. Order of Australia stepping up to 10 furlongs there. That's interesting, but... look, is he getting any better, Order of Australia? You know, he could outrun his odds to run a place, but the locally trained Romantic Warrior is 7-4 favourite at the minute. He should take a lot of beating. He's very impressive in all his starts to date. James McDonald wasn't bored last time. He's back up to ride him, and I have a couple of friends in Hong Kong, and they tell me that's the nap of the day, so I'll be guided by them.
Lovely. What about the chances? The Irish have a good chance in the Vaz.
Yeah, very keen actually on Stone Age. I think... if you're going to win an international race in Hong Kong, it's the 1.5-mile race is the weakest. The locals don't really run over that distance too often. And Win Marlin is interesting. Damien Lane riding the Japanese filly. She was second in the Group 1 Queen Elizabeth Stakes a couple of weeks ago in the race that Shane Foley rode, the Irish Oaks winner.
Magical Lagoon.
But it was a rain-softened track, and the form may be a little bit suspect. And I think Stone Age, on the back of that run to Breeders' Cup, has a really good setup for him. Fast ground turning track, will suit his play to his strengths fully, and he should go very well.
Yeah, and jockey's in all right form as well.
Jockey's in great form. He rode a winner in Happy Valley during the week as well.
And, did he as well?
He did. And 11-4 Stone Age, I think that's pretty fair price. Yeah.
Yeah. We were before we started recording here on Thursday morning. He was 11-4. I think the price has just gone because the draw is taking place as we speak. So the price will be revised. But yeah, he was well backed prior to that. He was 11-4. And Romantic Warrior, as you said, was 7-4 this morning. So unless the draw is horrific, those prices should hopefully be.
And that's the thing, both with Romantic Warrior and Stone Age, a single figure draw is a huge advantage around that track. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know the Hong Kong Cup is, they start 200 meters, maybe 300 meters for the bend.
You're right on top of the bend, yeah. You know, it can be a bit of a bun fight down to that bend, and if you're wide, you're basically off the track all the way, yeah.
Yeah. The International Jockeys Challenge was shared, wasn't it? Did Tom Marcan share it with
Sylvester D'Souza, I believe. Yes. Yeah.
Two lads shared. That's good. It's they're still in the midst of COVID, so it's a nightmare. You can't do anything.
No, Irish Jockey invited this year, which is a bit disappointing, but
it's disappointing. Yeah. That's disappointing. It's a nice little jolly up, I'd say, if you get the nod. But anyway,
it's a good week.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's an excellent week. It's an excellent week. The Hong Kong International Racing, if you want to watch it, as I said, Sky Sports Racing. And it's not crazy early, folks. You can get up and you can have your breakfast and watch it. I think it's around usually between 8 and 10 a.m. Maybe the first race is earlier than that, but it's not crazy early. So get up, and it could be the only turf racing you're watching this weekend. I'm very pessimistic about this morning.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
No problems with the duck. The all-weather surface, provided the roads are okay on the way there, should be no problems. The 6:30 is the next race we're going to look at. It's the first division of two apprentice handicaps over 7 furlongs. And an old friend is back, Havana Pearl. Joey Sheridan will ride. Joey Sheridan might be happy that Princess Zoe is staying at home. Maybe might get a few more spins on her. But Havana Pearl, she ran well for you. We were each way. She got the fourth in an each way extra place race. Are we going again, Fran?
I think we have to stick with her, PK. It was a mile last week and Sam Ewan gave her a very good ride. But as I said on the preview, she can be a very keen for going filly. She was drawn on stall 12 or 13 out wide. And she'd just done a bit too much down the back straight. And once finding a rhythm, she did pick up. And I thought she was going to win and win really well until the final 100 yards where she got tired. She's off the track, 8 months off the track. And with the benefit of that run, a quick turnaround, she should not be as fresh. And particularly dropping back down to 7 furlongs. It stacks up well for Havana Pearl, drawn and stalled 6. I think she can reverse form with Malaysian, who got a very good ride off Conor Stone Walsh to get up and win last week, giving him his first winner on the track. Well done to him. It was a nice way to do that. And Malaysian, as we've seen in previous starts, that she needs to be delivered late, and maybe getting her head in front, she can build on that. But for me, Havana Pearl back down in distance, can reverse form with Malaysian. Line Ring and Delta Romeo have both been in good form in recent starts. Delta Romeo, not sure a wide draw would suit him, and the same would apply to Bellic in stall 16, a very good second to Leclerc last week. But for me, I think Havana Pearl, if she's going to win, she's got a very, very good set up to get off the mark here tonight.
Branberry looking to maintain his excellent strike rate with tipping up Mick Halford, winners, got one last week with Kialak, and looking to go in again with Havana Pearl here. And if he's a friend, then Malaysian is definitely an enemy. Weighed in light, lost your cash, and then wins next time out. It's classic, isn't it?
Didn't tip her up the next week. Exactly, yeah, exactly.
absolute enemy. The second division of said handicap is drawn straight away after at 7 o'clock on the card. And we're looking at Leclerc, who you've already mentioned. It has got good form with the previous race for Aidan McGuinness and Adam Caffrey. The Bog Bank is very consistent for James Ryan and Tom McCourt, topping the weights. Where are we going?
Yeah, Leclerc has, since switching to all weather, Leclerc has definitely upgraded his form, and he stayed on really well to win last week, PK, and he's gone up 6 pounds in the weights for that. I think that's fair enough penalty that he can build on that. Back in third was Newmar behind him, number 5, and Jazzy Dance, number 4, was 5th in that race. Can't see either of them reversing form with Leclerc. And the Bog Bank, the top weight, has been in good form on recent starts. I think she's better at a mile. I think 7 furlong just gets her in her head a little bit. And number 2, Sister Lola, is getting down to a workable mark and is back up to something like her best trip. But I'm going to go elsewhere away from them. I think Leclerc will be favoured, but I'm quite keen on a filly we tipped up a couple of weeks ago each way. Number 7, Circles, trained by Anthony McCann, has been running really well in all winter, really, on the all weather up until now. And last week, don't think she got the trip of the mile. I thought she's a winner everywhere down to the Furlong pole. Just faded inside the last 150 yards, getting beat less than 2 lengths. Back down to 7 furlongs. She's got a good draw in stall 8. And blinkers have gone on for the first time, which may help her. Sometimes she's a little bit lazy in the midsection of a race. That just might sharpen up a lot. And I think overall her form is better on occasions than Horstel will be ahead of her in the market. And with the blinkers on, 7 furlongs, I think she's the one to beat.
Okay, Circles, number 7 on the card. Could be very much an each way price, that's for sure, in that contest. Well, I say very much towards the top of the betting, but should be an each way price. There's an interesting reserve there, Joseph O'Brien trains. Watch out for that one if that gets in, Os Rage. And the reason I mentioned reserves is the news broke earlier on, was it last week or this week, that the Grand National are going to scrap the reserve system next year. Obviously, slightly different to our reserve system in that you don't have as long to get into the race. I think the latest you can get in is by, is it like 6 o'clock the night before, or maybe something along those lines. What are your thoughts on that, scrapping the reserve system?
I'd all be forgiving everybody as much opportunity as they can to run in a race like that. I think it's, you know, if you're going to, fill the field, and, you know, it's a dream race for an owner, a trainer, a jockey to compete in. And if it's 24 hours of a difference of getting in or not getting in, I do think it's a good thing. Flip side of that, you're dealing with Whirlpool, international markets now, anti-post betting, but you know, early declarations, sweepstakes for the ones who are punters. So there's different sides to put from a race and professional point of view. I do think it's not a good move, but business point of view, it's probably makes sense on the financial side. But I'd build for as many horses you can get into these races, get them in as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree too. I think certainly I know, speaking from experience with the various systems that we operate in Paddy Power, in terms of when a reserve comes in, it's pretty easy in the Irish system because you just take the reserve number. That's quite simple. I think for a race like the National, for whatever reason, they had to swap that number, i.e. if you replaced number seven, you would then carry number seven. Now, I don't know if that's coupon related, Whirlpool related, that sort of stuff. That caused a bit of issues with our systems as well. I know our tech guys would be delighted because it can cause carnage with the system, but... yeah, I agree. I just think figure it out, lads. You know, make it work because having 38 or 37 runners versus, and you'd be sitting there on the side going, my horse could be running this.
You know, and it's, you know, 2022, 2023.
Yeah, figure it out, lads.
Things can be done, yeah.
Figure it out. So just figure it out. Make it so.
And you want to romance the National, the 100-to-1 chance getting in minute. And, you know, it's that's what it's all about. I know it's maybe the romance has gone out a bit the last few years with the adjustment to defences, but you need to have 40 runners if possible just to.
Last year, it's easy to get around. You can go run through them now, so it's grand. last year's winner, Noel Yates, is a Gold Cup horse now.
Yeah, and it tipped up by Ruby on the road to Cheltenham last week for the Gold Cup. 66-1, I think, was it, or something?
Well, yeah, he tipped him up for that race. He tipped him up for the Many Clouds on this pod, Fran, which I know you listened to, the From the Horse's Mouth. He was around 6-1. I don't know what he went off. Did he go half that? Maybe around 4-1. Tipped him up to win the Many Clouds, and he said he could be a Gold Cup horse, and obviously he said the same on that other show he's on. I don't know.
Sponsored by Paddy Pardo.
Okay, grand. Okay, the road show was very good. Listen to it. It's very good. I'd watch it with Lily Hislop, who is a brilliant broadcaster. He's an interesting horse. He's a very interesting runner because Gold Cups, you need to stay him. Does he stay?
Exactly. And have we ever seen the best from until now? Maybe not, yeah.
Yeah, tell you, it'd be some coup for Emmett Mullins. Right, that's a little foray into the Grand National world as well. Just tell you, we cover everything here in this pod. 7:30 is probably the race of the night. It's the 6 furlong sprint. We've got horses rated up to 95 here. Rough Diamond for Eddie Lynham, Dream Today for Aidan McGuinness, Hodsgrove also for Aidan McGuinness. They're all recent winners here, and I think those are the three to concentrate on. What do you think?
I totally agree. Pace angle number 4, Ampleson, has been in good form in recent starts. He's handicapped what he is, if you like, but he'll make it a true test out of stall number 5. Odds Girl has been a revelation since joining Aidan McGuinness, has improved markedly, and last time around a cracker, again to be second to Dandyville, who's somewhat of a handicap lot as well on the night, and I would not rule her out by any means. Dream Today, our stable companion, was beaten 3.5 lengths by Rough Diamond when they met at the end of October. Likeable horse, consistent, but again off 88, he's probably at the peak of his handicap rating, for all that he should run a good race. But the top weight, Rough Diamond, very impressive in winning that occasion, won by 3.5 lengths and picked up strongly and went away through the line to win readily. He's gone up obviously 7 pounds in the weights PK, but he's a horse that was quite consistent in grass. He was a hold up horse, but we always thought he was a soft ground horse, but 2 runs in the all weather, he was beaten a length and a quarter by Harry's Bar in August on his debut on the all weather at this track, and then obviously this win in October, he sprinted down through the line, and maybe the poly track is the key to him. He's definitely improved for only 2 starts, having his 3rd start here on Friday night. He'll be very hard to beat, provided the 42-day layoff doesn't leave a mark, but I can't see why he won't.
He's an interesting runner. Freddie Lyon does well with his horses here, and as we know, does very well with sprinters. 2 more races to look at on Friday night. The 8 o'clock is we're back into 47 to 75 territory here. Gobi Star for this sprint tops the weights, having won two of last three, as has Inish Mo Prince for Tom McCourt, whose future son-in-law, my colleague Gav Coyle, said, by the way, PK, back Inish Mo Prince. Did I? No. No is the answer. And he won last time out. Thanks, Gav. My apologies.
I've had to give up back in Inish Mo Prince. I backed about 10 times during the summer once in the grass and I can't get him right. So no, he's a horse I like a lot anyway. And off a mark of 72, he's still open to further improvement. I think he's winning despite idling once hitting the front. James Ryan knows him very well now and gets a good tune out of him. So he sets a good standard, PK, and I definitely wouldn't put anyone off him. Gobi Star was claimed out Eddie Lynham's last week. Chris Hayes retains to ride, 30 days ago now. But and number two, Hearns Hill will be one I'll be watching. Not so much with a view to Friday night, but a view to the future. Thought he was very impressive when winning at Cork in the summer. And we haven't seen him since June. So he's probably best watch from stall 15 for John McConnell and Don O'Connor. But off mark is 73. I do think in the future there will be upsides to his mark. Little Queenie, number seven. That's going to make the pace a strong gallop. She jumps out, goes off very quickly. And maybe all the better for her recent comeback effort. But the two to be concentrating on outside of Inish Mo Prince, Collective Power, number 12, he was beaten favoured over five furlongs last week. Didn't run a bad race under the circumstance. He just seemed to be outpaced and then came home well down towards the outer. And back up to six furlongs should suit him very well. The draw is ideal for him. He loves to get cover and travel away. Stall one will be ideal. But number 13, Sam Rogue is the one that I'd like most here. Put a line through her last run. The saddle slipped in the early stages. Conor Hoban basically had to pull her up when she was beaten favourite here last time. She's had three wins from nine starts in the all-weather. She's been placed three times as well. Obviously won at Laytown as well two starts ago. And I think the makeup of the race would suit her really well. She's a strong traveller with Little Queenie in the race, likely to go along at a good gallop. I think it'll suit her very well. And I think there is more upside to her perhaps than Collective Power at the current ratings.
Lovely. That's zero beside her form figure. We'll pull off a lot of punters, but as you said, saddle slipped last night. You can, as you said, put a line through that. I'm loath to say it, but IrishRacing.com have her at a very big price. I'm not even going to say what it is, but it's double figures anyway, Sam Rowe. Before we get to the...
If I got 8-1, I take hand and all.
Well,
so.
well, you would be very keen on the IrishRacing.com price. That's all I'll say. Before we get cracking into the last race, under the hope, and it is hope, that we get Irish turf racing this weekend, is there a horse or horses you're looking forward to, Punchestown or beyond?
Energy Mean, I'm a massive fan of the horse, and he's been lucky for me all the way through. I just love the way he does everything through his races, and it'd be great if he could get out to Cork, and great to see him running in Cork again, you know, for the race course down there. And he should be obviously very hard to beat in the hilly way. And of course, galloping to Champs into John Durkin in Punchestown, you know, great to get him back out and see where we're at. Obviously, the King George has been ruled out, so it'll be, you know, a question of trips, Gold Cup, you know, where he's going to go between now and March. But good to get him back out. And Appreciated and Flamebearer both entered in race five at Punchestown on Sunday. So if Flamebearer gets there, I like Appreciate it, but I'm very excited by Flamebearer. And I backed Mandy Post for Turners. He's run over 2 miles one. I think the Turners 2 miles three. So we're getting within the shooting distance of the trip. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd want them to start him over a little bit shorter, right? You know, for his first race. Yeah. If that is to be his target. He has been entered a few times now this season, Flamebearer without running.
He has. So we'll wait and see. And will he take him on with Appreciate it or what? We don't know. But yeah. He's an exciting prospect. I think he could improve a lot for Fences and the switch to Willie. And in the third race on Sunday, I was very impressed by a filly of Gordon Elliott's. It's a listed hurling Sunday. The one in Galway under Davy Russell. She'd won a pint to pint and thought the way she went through the race in Galway was very impressive, beating Law Ella, deeply superficial. I thought she could be a really nice prospect. And she may be value. You've Bella Scintilla in the race, who ran well at Cheltenham at the October meeting, third to Pied Piper. But I think just all things being equal, deeply superficial, could be an exciting filly.
Yeah, no, that's in the race number three, Punchestown 130. That's a mare's novice listed race. Yeah, I did like Bella Santilla's run. I was going to back her actually. That Cheltenham race, obviously she had no chance at the weights or anything. Gets Glen Pipe. I thought it was a really interesting bit of placing by Joseph. I thought she'll probably make the market, like you said. But watch out for Deeply Superficial in that 130. If you want, and we're recording, as I said, Thursday morning. So prices for the Saturday races will actually go to the day of race book potentially by the time you listen to this. But at the time of recording, Galopin Deschamps Energamine double is 4-6.
I've had worse bets.
Yeah, I've had loads of worse bets than that double. It's 4-6, so that's an anti-post double as we record. Obviously, Galopin Deschamps will be day of the race book, assuming he's declared, probably by the time you listen to this, and then Energamine hopefully is declared. And the main thing is we hopefully get racing this weekend. I think Cork has got the best chance of all the tracks to race. So
yeah, Dundalk yesterday, the clerk of the course there is Brendan Sheridan, former top jump jockey, of course, and he's Punchestown clerk, and he was quite hopeful. It all depends what happens, really, more so on Saturday than what happens on Sunday. If you get a hard frost Saturday and it doesn't thaw, obviously Sunday's going to be in doubt. But he's got two full tracks of fresh ground that hasn't been used, and he thinks that's going to be a big, you know, plus to giving it every chance of running. So fingers crossed. Wouldn't mind going over for a couple of hours Sunday, just see all Flame Bear win by 20, and after that it doesn't matter.
Cash out. Right, well, fair play, lovely. Brendan, give us hope. Last race on the card, Dundalk on Friday, is a 1.5 handicap, our only race over an extreme trip, or even at least middle distance anyway. This is lowly graded, but we've got a couple of recent winners in Moore's Gift and Matilda with me. Probable favourite, there will be Moore's Gift. Chateau Moussar is a horse that you flagged up and has been placing well. Going to stick with Chateau?
Not today, for all that he has been run really well, Chateau Moussar. He's getting back down to a workable mark, and his last two runs have been very good. I'm a little bit surprised and disappointed not to see some headgear in him. I thought he didn't help Tom Kiley Marshall when he needed him the last day. And look, he's got a reverse form in Moore's Gift. He could well do, but maybe that form is not quite good enough, I think, to perhaps just win here. Getaway Queen, very good course record, won really well last week or a couple of weeks ago over 2 miles. Will be a player, a 1.5 trip suits her well. Number 4, Matilda with me. Colin Keane was very good to win on her recently. That was over 10.5 furlongs. I'm not never ever convinced by her at 1.5. I don't think she quite gets the trip. And I'll be against her here. Moore's Gift is likely to make it a good gallop. Number 14, The Lion Strikes, has been working her way to some level of form. Some level of form to win a race, and maybe stepping up a trip could suit. But I know you love your breeding, PK. Galilei over 1.5. Would you be happy with that, would you? Number 13, Princess Wannabe. Interesting. Yeah. Off market 50.
Is she a Lady Wannabe? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Wannabe better, excuse me.
Oh, Wannabe better. Yeah. Like well bred. Shouldn't be running in this race, but yeah. but has found herself here anyway.
She has. And look, her handicap and polytrack debut was very good. Didn't show a lot on any of her three runs of maiden company, but off a couple of months break off that base mark of 50, she looked to be behind the bridle, struggling a lot at Dundalk. But last furlong, she stayed on really well to be fourth, only beaten 2.5 lengths. But the thing that I loved about the run, PK, let the video run on, she galloped out strongly by the line. And stepping up, you think, with the benefit of that run, cheekpiece left on, and another furlong and a half to play with, a good drawn stall too. No connections, are looking to get her to win, given her pedigree, but she could be somewhat of a blot here up in distance.
Yeah, half sister to Lady Wannabe, who's a 4-time winner, I think, for Tommy Stack. Fozzie. It's been a while now since Tommy's come on. Fozzie Stack. Well bred, Princess Wannabe. We'll keep an eye out for her, that's for sure. Dundalk finished. Right, great. Well, hopefully a few winners there. Now we need your best bets on the card, please, Franberry. So Naps, Next Bests, Akkas, you name it, go for it.
Obviously Senior Cards didn't run last week, and that was one for the Christmas money for
what a one.
The guy who texted me on Twitter yesterday Aaron, for the Christmas money, race one, excessive velocidad, doubled with number 3 bold rib, or race 3 bold rib. I think two of them should be hard to beat. Hopefully the double will pay something decent, and that's the double. That's the strong double, win double. Yep. And an each way treble, race four, Havana Pearl, I think down to 7 furlongs, the suitor very well. Backing up quickly could be a good thing. Good draw, good apprentice, Joey Sheridan taking the ride. Race five, Circles, I think the headgear back down to 7 furlongs will suit her very well. And race seven, hopefully that double figure price does exist at some point in time. But Sam Rogue will be at each way price. Put a line through last one, obviously the saddle slipped. 3 wins, 9 starts in the all-weather. I think there's more upside to her. Definitely is a big player and shouldn't be out of money.
Lovely. So a nap double and an each way treble. That's what we're going with.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Oh, lovely stuff. Okay. Happy days, Aaron. I hope you're listening. Aaron Jameson. He's keen. Keep tweeting us.
And Flame Bearer for Cheltenham, if anyone wants to follow in there. Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
not sure what race Willie's going to run him in, but that's it.
Willie's not sure what race he's going to run him. So what hope do we have? Let's hope he gets there first. Let's hope he gets there. Flame Bearer for the Turners. Fingers crossed, because Brand didn't bother with the backing them all three, and he could run the Arkle. I probably won't go in the 3 miler. I think it's very safe, but yeah, but he could definitely have ended up in the Arkle. Maybe he doesn't want to take on John Bond. Brand, it's been a wonderful year for me.
Pleasure, PK. Yeah,
it's, I will be back next after January, some stage, whatever. After I've had my fill of barbecues and beers.
It's a tough life, isn't it? You know, it's
I didn't take holiday during the summer, Fran. As I keep telling my colleagues, I did not take holiday. They love it going away for Christmas. It's not busy at all in work, Christmas. They're really happy that I've backed off to Australia for a few weeks. Anyway,
Will you get racing down there at all, or will you?
We will. We've missed, obviously, the Spring Carnival, but they have brilliant country racing down there. We'll go out to a place called Hanging Rock. I don't know if anyone's ever seen or read the book, A Picnic at Hanging Rock. It's about these three girls who were kidnapped. But they have a racetrack there. They race twice a year.
You're really selling it.
I am selling it. It's a really nice park. It is, and there was a BBC series, so it was actually relatively famous. They have a lovely park there, and they race twice a year. They race on New Year's Day and they race on Australia Day, and the track is hilarious. Like, it's like they have to bring the pony club and all the kids from the pony club on their ponies to shoo away the kangaroos before the racing starts. Like, genuinely, it is hilarious. But yeah, you go in, you have your picnic, and you get a few tinnies and stuff like that. And yeah, it's good crack. So I'll do something like that again.
Happy days, yeah. No, geez, enjoy, yeah. Enjoy. We'll all be jealous, yeah.
Don't worry. As I said, follow me on Twitter at Patrick Kelly for all the sunny scenes of Australia while you guys are freezing. I will miss Leprosent. I will miss Leprosent. Right, Bran, enjoy. I will be talking to you in the new year. Best luck with the new host. Go easy on him or her over the next few weeks, and back a few winners.
Will do. Take care.